everyone. This is Jason Verlinde, the publisher of the Fretboard Journal, and this is the Fretboard Journal's 104th podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today we are talking to Grant Gordy and Joe Walsh. Both of them stopped by the office. They are playing together as part of Daryl Anger's Mr. Sun, but they also have incredible careers individually, and it was great to talk to them. We also shot some great videos with them that may not be on fretboardjournal.com or YouTube quite as quickly as this podcast, but we will be unveiling those in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for those. The big news on my end, we just relaunched our website, fretboardjournal.com. It is an entirely new website. All of the great content that you got on the old site is there. It looks a heck of a lot prettier. We have some new videos. We have new podcasts. We have new columns, new features. We have unveiled a ton of stuff from our archives, including the classic Tony Rice cover story that Art Dudley did for us in Fretboard Journal 5. Some of the Bill Frisell articles that have run in the magazine are now in their entirety on our website. A ton of great stuff. We encourage you to go poke around fretboardjournal.com for the next couple of days. We also have a great subscription discount offer on that site. So subscribe to that if you haven't yet. Without further ado, here is Grant Gordy and Joe Walsh. Like I said, we have video of them both coming up fairly soon, but I wanted to get this podcast out sooner than later. Joe and Grant, thanks for coming to the Fretboard Journal.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
glad to be here.
So you just played a couple of tunes with some instruments that are pretty new to both of you guys. Joe, why don't you talk about that mandolin?
Yeah, this is brand new. It just showed up at my door about 2 months ago. I've been patiently or impatiently waiting for a couple of years for this mandolin that came from the workshop of Mike Chemnitzer. He builds under the name Nugget, and cool thing was he ended up mailing me two mandolins, and I got to, you know, put them in a fight against each other and see which one ended up catching my ear more. And this is the one that I held on to. It's number 302, about 2 months old, and we're getting along pretty well.
And what was the difference between the two mandolins he sent you?
Well, this one's made with Engelmann. The other one had red spruce, and the other one sounded great, and it was even. It just wasn't. It wasn't a race car. It wasn't really raring to go yet.
Yeah.
It probably will turn into that. But this one just, you know, from the very first time I tuned it up, it was like, whoa, this thing really wants to get out there and play.
And what when you placed that order, however long ago, probably a long time ago, what did you actually tell him you wanted?
Yeah. Well, with him. You know, I just have dug the sound of all of his mandolins that I've encountered.
Yeah.
And he did ask me, like, oh, what do you want me to do with this? And I mostly wanted to stay out of his way. I felt like he's had, you know, he sounds so good without my input over all the years previously that I would just rather have him do what he does and be pleasantly surprised.
That was it? Nothing? No details?
The only thing I said was, I wanted something with a little more sustain.
Yeah.
The other instruments I've had in the past, some have had sustain, but didn't have this. The one I've been playing mostly lately is great in a lot of ways, but didn't have a lot of sustain.
Uh-huh.
And this one definitely delivers in that department.
And are you still playing the Gilchrist? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got that, so I feel like I got two good options.
Yeah. And Grant, tell us about this Martin.
Well, yeah, her name is Becky. He's about 72 years old, so there's a, you know, pretty sizable age difference, but I think we're making it work.
Yeah.
Love kind of conquers all in this case. She really is named Becky. I named her after my grandmother who had passed just before I got this guitar. And
puts a whole other layer on it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I found this at the Chicago Music Exchange, and I wasn't really particularly looking to buy a new guitar.
Yeah.
When I walked in, as happens sometimes, as I'm sure you know. But I picked it up, and as I was telling you earlier, like, I haven't had many experiences with instruments where I kind of immediately felt a strong connection, you know.
Yeah.
But I picked this one up, and they had a bunch of triplos in there, too. I should say it's a 1944 Martin Triplo 18.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of triplos, and I played all of them. And I even, at one point, I found another one that was pretty nice, and this one, and I was like, playing like a three-note phrase on this, and then running over to the other side of the room, playing the same three-note phrase on the other guitar.
That's a big room, too.
Yeah. I got too much success for the day. That was good. But this one really kind of won out, and it was weird, man. It was like hearing... It really was kind of like hearing my voice for the first time, which was amazing.
And remind me what you were playing mostly before this guitar.
I was... a couple things. I've had a Collings D1 that I've had for, gosh, like over 10 years and played, you know, countless gigs on it. I had one of Matt Arcaria's guitars, which was great. He built that for me.
Uh-huh.
Great dreadnought. I guess those were kind of the two main axes. And I have a Hofner electric archtop that I play on electric gigs, which I love.
Yeah.
Of course, totally different. But yeah, kind of the Arcaria and the Collings for my main axes, and I still play those. You know, I definitely, the Collings is my only guitar with a pickup in it, so whenever I need one, I bring that.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I found this, and it was just, there's something real sweet and special about it.
It's nice. Cool. Like, he got that guitar, and then, I don't know, within, I remember it like as weeks, but it might have been longer. Yeah. It was like instantly we were in the studio recording with this, so it was like... They really connected and ran with it.
Yeah, it was cool. We made the... So we have this band, Mr. Sun, with Daryl Anger and Ethan Yojevitz. And yeah, we made a record. I was like, you know, got this new guitar. I love it. And so we kind of tested it out, you know, in the under the microscope, and it seemed to deliver.
Nice. And you guys are... You're playing as a duo for this week. How long have you been doing that?
You know, we've been doing it off and on. For a couple of years now. We did a trio tour last year with a bass player from London in Europe.
Yeah.
And we did a few duo gigs spread out over the year last year. We're doing more this year than we ever have before. But
yeah.
I guess this is our first proper tour doing the duo thing.
That's cool.
Although, you know, it feels so easy because we've done it so much. Like, we've played so much together and done duo gigs. And like, we have a lot of repertoire that we can fall back on.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like this real new undertaking, even though it's our first tour. You know?
Yeah. And are you guys kind of just mining the whole catalog for what you play? And does every night kind of have a different vibe? Or?
Yeah, I guess we could do that, I suppose. it's been mostly like a pool that we sort of have whittled it down. We've got, you know, some original music. And
yeah. Our usual game plan is to make every tune different every night.
Okay.
So even if the set list didn't change... The flavor changed every night.
Mistakes will always be different.
That's a good point. And you have a pretty busy summer coming up, both of you guys?
Yeah. I got a good smattering of camps and gigs.
We've got I guess we'll be home for about 5 days or something after this little run.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in New York and Joe lives in Maine, in Portland. And then we both head out to England, and we're going to do another tour with our friend Ben, and also Bobby Britt, this great fiddle player from
Town Mountain.
From Town Mountain, yeah. And so we'll do a bunch of a few England and a bunch of different Europe dates with that. So that's like coming right up, pretty quick.
Yeah, as busy as we want to be, I think.
Yeah, you've got more teaching coming up, or
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I teach at Berkeley.
Yeah,
I do one day a week there, and then. I'm doing maybe four or five camps this year, which is great.
And what's the Berkeley program like for folks who don't know?
Yeah, so the Berkeley program, there's been a huge push for roots music lately, and the school's been throwing a lot of weight behind it, which is great. And the students have been showing up. There's been all these amazing kids. Well, they're not kids anymore, but you know, people like Sierra and Courtney Hartman and wonderful guitar players. Molly Tuttle just left there. So.
Yeah.
Really an amazing community, and seems to be an ideal place for somebody who wants to keep on playing roots music, but also like approach it from a really intellectual side and really understand what's going on.
Yeah, and what's your curriculum like? What do you do? How do you treat your 1 day a week there?
Yeah, so I have about 8 hours of private lessons.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's very tailored to each student. So trying to move them both or move them along on their own path. And then I have 4 hours of ensembles, which has been great. I've been doing an ensemble focused around the music of the David Grisman Quintet for a couple years.
Okay.
Which has been really awesome because there's a great presence of mandolin players there. And, you know, it's funny, like, there's just like the things that I take for granted that every student would know, they don't. There's things that like, I'm like, oh, the first DGQ record, and the kid who's 18 is like,
yeah.
What? So it's been amazing introducing him to that.
I got to come in for a day and help out with the Griffin Ensemble, which was really cool to sort of, yeah, just help out and share, you know, my geeking out on that music.
Yeah.
With these people.
Yeah. And then, like, there's so many great students of other persuasions of the roots world. So I've been taking apart the music from, like, the Bluegrass Sessions, the Bela record.
Oh, sure.
And Uncommon Ritual and using that as a vehicle to learn arranging and composition. Yeah. So
sounds great. So Grant, what wisdom did you impart from Grisman onto the next generation? How do you sum it up?
Yeah. How can really a person ever sum up?
Hey man.
Yeah. You know, I think I talked a little bit about maybe my experience working on that music in the context of David, you know, with David as a band leader. And I think we also just talked about the tunes themselves. I think that it was probably a pretty technical
centered
thing, because we were working on, it was like Dog Patch.
Yep.
Right? So we kind of just worked, kind of dug into this tune. And I think I helped the guitar player kind of figure out what to do over the changes a little bit. So it was pretty like just nuts and bolts, I think, more than anything.
I think students these days were kind of like I was when I was a student. They're not as worried about the lineage. They're worried about what they're interested in at the moment. But
yeah.
I've been encouraging them to say, oh, you like this? This wouldn't exist if this hadn't happened.
Yeah.
So you might care about that and see it in that way.
Is it kind of a entire generation of people who've been raised on like Chris Thiele? And
totally.
It's that's who it is?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And how many students are we talking about in the mandolin program?
There's probably like 9 or 10 there now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And do they get to kind of dictate what facets of music they like focus on, or?
Well, there's a expectation. So the mandolins are housed in the string department.
Okay.
And there's sort of an expectation of certain technical things you should be able to have learned and played by the time you're out of school. So that's a guide, something that guides our work together. But as far as where you apply it, repertoire-wise, it's guided a lot by the students.
Yeah. And any new recordings or anything you guys have brewing?
I'm pretty excited about this duo, another duo record that I just made. We just got it mastered, so it'll be out next couple months, I think. With it's a guitar duo with this guy Ross Martin.
Okay.
Familiar with him?
No.
He's great. I met him when we actually both lived in Denver, Colorado, and he was like the guy that got all the calls. You know, I always hear about this guy Ross Martin, and then so he was sort of one of my heroes when I first moved to town. You know.
Okay.
And then we just had occasion to like jam at times, and I just realized, like, boy, this guy's really happening. Anyway, and so at one point we just decided to start working on some repertoire together, and Ross has spent a lot of years in the Matt Flinner Trio.
Yeah.
He's currently also doing Jeff Austin's band.
Okay.
With, which Danny Barnes, who we mentioned earlier, was part of. Anyway, so we have this duo project, and it's, a similar kind of mixture of some original music and our take on standards and stuff. And jazz standards and fiddle tunes, and it's
it's beautiful.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Where'd you record it?
We did it actually outside of Fort Collins, Colorado, because we knew this guy Aaron Youngberg. You know, have you heard that band Fenders and Youngberg?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Aaron is a fantastic engineer, and we knew it would be a great opportunity to work with him, and so we flew out and, you know, got to put a little tour together leading up to it. Worked out great.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've got a couple things coming out. I'm so used to saying no that I forget that I actually do have a couple things coming out. I got a record with the fiddler Brittany Haas and this dadgad guitar player named Owen Marshall, who's
okay.
a really great musician.
Dadgad guitar player.
Dadgad.
Yeah, put that on your business card.
And so that'll be coming out in a couple weeks here. And then this fall I'm gearing up to make or to put out a solo record I've got.
Okay.
It's already done?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's great.
What kind of, can you talk about what's on that?
Yeah, so basically Mr. Sun's like this sort of like genre exploring, you know, everything's possible kind of band.
Yeah.
And I was, seeing that also a big part of what I do is sort of like my own version of bluegrass.
Yeah.
So that was the focus on this one. I wrote pretty much everything on the record and tried to, you know, have it reflect the fact that I live in Maine and I'm not in Nashville and not exactly trying to sound like that, but seeing what could happen with that.
Nice.
Yeah. And it features Courtney Hartman and
yep.
Brittany Haas and Bruce Molsky and basically it's all the E's. Courtney, Brittany, Molsky, and our bass player Carl Doty.
Okay.
Oh. Wow, I never thought of that. And then so, Joey.
That's right.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. This was so much fun.
Thanks for having us.
And the video we shot with you, the two videos, should be on our YouTube channel soon. But, yeah, we'll get on that.
Can't wait. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks.